This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago in Fulton County, Georgia.
Mr. Royals, everything went as it should have in front of the grand jury?
Yes, sir.
All right. Ms. Alexander, you're prepared to take this? I guess I'm delivering it to the clerk. You'll maintain custody of it from here?
Yes, sir.
The grand jury in Fulton County has handed up 10 indictments. They've been considering evidence in the 2020 state election probe of former President Donald Trump. The court does not provide details of charges or defendants in the indictment. CBS's Nicole Killian is outside of the courthouse.
Knowing that this grand jury did hear a lot of evidence today, it's certainly possible that it could involve the former president, but we're just waiting for confirmation to see when and if these charging documents are eventually filed.
The death toll in Hawaii from the deadly wildfire now stands at 99 as teams continue searching for victims. Cassandra Villasenor says she survived because she jumped into the water in the harbor in Lahaina.
We ended up floating in the front of the boats, or, you know, attaching ourselves to the boat. We went underneath one of the docks to protect us from the debris falling because at that point Banyan Tree was on fire.
Hundreds of families have been left devastated as the flames killed relatives and loved ones and destroyed their homes and businesses. KCBS-TV's Jeff Nguyen is on Maui with the latest.
Many residents have expressed frustration about having little warning before the flames swept in.
I've lived here for 23 years. I've heard the siren go many times, or heartbroken that people couldn't get out or didn't get alerted.
The governor says a comprehensive review is underway to determine why the state's siren system failed.
Six white former Mississippi law officers accused of torturing two black men, including shooting one of them in the face, has pleaded guilty to state charges. More from CBS's Jim Crisula.
The former Brandon, Mississippi police officers had earlier admitted their guilt in a separate federal civil rights case. Prosecutors say some of the officers nicknamed themselves the Goon Squad, since they often used excessive force, especially on black men, and then covered it up.
Public schools in Louisville, Kentucky remain closed because of a school bus mess. Some children were never picked up while others didn't get home until 10 p.m. last Wednesday, the first day of school in the state's biggest school system. Many parents are upset.
My daughter started high school. Her bus never came. We had the wrong information on Bus Finder. It was actually 2 hours wrong.
They used to have a bus stop at that daycare, and now they've eliminated that bus stop.
Louisville school administrators came up with new school bus routes and school start times because of a shortage of bus drivers. Stocks closed higher on Wall Street. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
AM radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM radio stays in your car. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you,
And you could be me?
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap.
Apples or at vinaigrettemn.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Listening to Native Roots Radio Presents, I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by St. Paul Public Schools, now giving out signing bonuses. You can check them out at spps.org.
Yes, definitely. Hey, Wendy and Dr. Stately are on today, yeah. And Wendy, it's winter now here in Minnesota.
It's the first day that I put a pair of jeans on in a really long time and a long sleeve shirt. Yeah.
We called those hard pants during COVID.
Hard pants, yeah.
We were wearing our shorts and things like
sweatpants and pajamas for 3 years.
Well, we got Shakopee Powwow coming up and this weekend, and we have our kids running the Native Roots Arts Powwow store up at Shakopee.
Yeah, awesome. It's going to be exciting. It's a really big powwow. Lots of people go and attend, and you don't have to be Native American to attend it. And I really would ask everybody to go and just check it out. You'd really see a lot of beautiful things.
Well, what's also interesting, too, is that we'll have new swag. Mm-hmm. Some really cool new swag. And I just found out that Wendy's art cards will be ready Thursday in time for this. So if you want to see Wendy's art or purchase a card, a gift card or a greeting card, stop on by. And then we're going to be at the State Fair for a long, long time. And you and I will be there only a couple days checking on the kids. And we'll be there at the fair having fun and doing what we normally do.
Yeah, August 24th. Through September 4th is the Minnesota State Fair. So we will be at the west end of the fair.
Yeah.
Native Roots Trading Post.
Right on. We're going to do a couple shows there, and I'm going to make Haley come out there and do some shows with us. And then I think we're going to do some remote stuff too, and it'll be a lot of fun. And we have a good parking spot now this year too. Hey, it's Monday, and we have the CEO of Native American Community Clinic here in Minnesota, Dr. Stately, stopping by, and we really always appreciate our conversation with Dr. Stately. Welcome, as always, to Native Roots Radio.
Oh, bonjour, everyone. It's a fair time. It's so exciting. August is like easily one of my most favorite times of the year. August and September, my two favorite powwows always happen like in August and September. So Shakopee's powwow, which you just mentioned, and then next month, the powwow closer at the end of the year is the Makato powwow in Mankato.
Yeah, love that one.
Land of Memories. beautiful park, beautiful powwow. It's small, intimate. I always run into a million people that I haven't seen in forever, and a lot of really great memories at that park and at that powwow. My kids have gone to that powwow since they were little tiny guys, so wow. I look forward to that. And it's already, it feels like fall already, doesn't it? It feels like
it's winter.
August 4th, it's right around the corner, right? And I'm wearing my hoodie, and I got my hard pants on.
Yeah, I'm not there yet.
I think I'm going to start calling him that. So, yeah, it was a little bit of a kind of a strange wake-up call this morning, right, to the weather.
Yeah, exactly. Wendy, why did we start calling them hard pants? Because I knew exactly what you meant.
I think during COVID. It on the internet during COVID, or somebody said they're going out and they put on their hard pants, because we were all in sweatpants right. And pajama pants for the whole COVID. So,
yeah.
It's crazy. Like,
yeah, it was a thing. Yeah. For like 2 years, I didn't have to dress for work except from like the waist up.
Oh my gosh! Yes, exactly. I still don't for a lot of my meetings. I'm still like wearing these new sweatshirts that Wendy has bought me. So
I saved so much money on laundry soap, and I didn't have to buy any clothes for the bottom half of my body. It was awesome.
Well, I think what's really weird is when I would go teach in school and go to work, I would shower every day, and now it's like Wendy and I are sitting on different ends of the couch going, did you shower today? And I said, well, it's been about 4 days.
That's Robert. That's TMI, Robert.
There's more health issues related to showering than just smelling good.
Hey, that's a swing back and talk about powwows just for a second, Dr. Stately. You know, powwows are for everyone to come, and you know, I think there's some protocol we could just really talk about, because we know we're going to see a lot of people at Shakopee, and everybody's welcome, and that's a free powwow too.
Yeah, it's a great powwow. You know, it is one of the largest in the region, if not the largest in the state or in the region. And what I love about it is, like, you know, my favorite is to go to Grand Entry. So Friday night, Grand Entry, it's always, almost always a really beautiful evening. It's like, you know, it starts to get dark around, you know, the sun sets around 8 o'clock, 8:30. And, you know, it takes about that long for Grand Entry to finish too. Cause like, you know, there's like all the dancers go into the thing and they're like dancing. It's really fascinating to watch them all dance, and they turn into this really tight circle of people. But it is the place where you get to see all of the dancers, you know, all the male dancers, female, like the tiny dots, everybody, elders, like, and they all have such beautiful regalia, such a beautiful experience to watch.
Well, also too, and they come in groups, dancer or, you know, a shawl dancer and things like that. So that, and then the younger ones too come at the end. Yeah. I remember, I think one of the first times we went to that powwow, and they always said the, Grand Entry was really long, and it was like, wow, I'm standing up here for an hour, it seems like. And it literally was darn near an hour.
Yep. Yep. They are known for their long Grand Entries. Usually though, for sure, almost every Friday one is, you know, if you're a dancer and you travel far, you know, it's a contest powwow too. So you place and things like that. But even like they're going to, if you come and you dance all 3 days, you get like, you get a little bit of, you know, powwow money, like gas money to help you pay for your way home and something like that. So it's, but more importantly, it's like, you know, at those things, you're going to run into people that you haven't seen in a really long time. You're going to run into somebody that you haven't talked to forever. You're going to meet people. You're going to meet new people. You're going to form new relationships. It's just, you know, this is what we have done as Indigenous people since the beginning of time. We've like visited each other's camps, and we spent time socializing and building relationships and alliances. And it's just the way we celebrate and socialize and have a good time. It's all about, you know, appreciating the time now that we have on Earth, and also, you know, remembering those relationships that help us endure and get through difficult times. So it's a really great opportunity to just really remember why we are here. We're here to be good relatives to one another, and that's what's happening in a powwow. You see laughing, you see dancing, you see singing, you have all this really rich experience. And yes, there are protocols. So if you are non-native and you haven't been to a powwow, Shakti does a good job. Take that little flyer or that little booklet they give you when you drive in, and it has some written description of what to expect at a powwow and how to conduct yourself. And so, you know.
Yeah. I always ask people too to take pictures too. That's one of the things that that you want to do, and also standing for watch. Just kind of join with everyone and stand when it's appropriate to stand. You know, it's mm-hmm. for everybody, but it's also really a great community event and hang out and joke and see some beautiful dancing and see people you haven't, like you said, haven't seen in a while. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately. It's Monday, and Wendy is going to be ending the show with her sacred animal portion, but it's great to be here with Dr. Stately. Haley, this is Native Roots Radio.
Stay with us.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
As we emerge from the shadows of the pandemic, let us celebrate our resilience and embrace the path to a brighter future. While the COVID-19 emergency declaration may be over, our commitment to safety remains stronger than ever. We invite you to stand tall and protect what matters most, our health and the well-being of our loved ones and elders. The power to keep our community safe lies within each one of us. It's important to remember the basics when you're with someone who might be at risk of COVID complications. Wear your mask, wash your hands often, and take an at-home COVID test if you have any symptoms. We are a strong and interconnected community, and together we'll emerge from this challenge stronger than ever. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep the spirit of our Native American culture thriving. Find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us. That's health.state.mn.us.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, it does. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, and we're just kind of having a conversation here. Just wrapping up the powwow is this weekend at Shakopee, starting Friday, and 7 o'clock is the grand entry. Native Roots Arts will be out there with some new swag for sale, and we're really excited. Stop by and say hello to Jelaine and Micah, and Jaleesa, too, I think Wendy is going to be out there. So we're excited. That'll be the first time we're out there at the Shakopee Powwow.
Mm-hmm. We are excited.
Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, and Dr. Stately always has his fans here. He has somebody saying that, saying hi, uncle. Nice.
Dr. My Stately, name is Becca.
Nice. Hey, what we have going on here at the clinic? What do we see in the future here? I know you guys are making a new clinic here in the groundbreaking. Can you give us a little update on that and remind our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, I can give an overview of it. It's like, you know, some days it feels like it's going to happen next week, and other days it feels like it's off in the distance. But, you know, we're in the middle of the end of our capital campaign for the clinic. NAC is going to build a brand new two-floor clinic on the at the front of our property on Franklin Avenue along the cultural corridor. And we are also partnered with a local housing partner to develop four floors of housing above the clinic. And our hope is that we'll break ground this time next year, hopefully actually Q2 in 2024. So that's like April, May, June-ish in 2024. And then it's about a 12 to 18 month build from there. So opening up a new clinic by the end of 2025. But it's a lot of work. Really excited about, we're in this final phase of sort of kind of doing some really critical work around the design and nailing down some of the design features. We have a cultural design group that's comprised of some folks both within the clinic and externally to the clinic that are giving us some feedback and some support and direction around, you know, integration of culture, because it's a big part of what we do as a Native clinic. We center culture in everything we do, and how that ends up looking like in the new building is becoming a little bit more clear, having a little more accuracy around that, which is kind of nice. All really exciting stuff.
I was gonna say, how exciting and what a great legacy that you and your workers are working on, and seeing the big picture and the needs for the community. I just applaud you so much in your work and your partnerships.
Thank you. I'm excited about it. We have some really great partnerships that are that have been forged and are going to be even built out stronger and more comprehensive going into this partnership. NAC has a relationship with the Red Lake Nation. We have two or three programs that we operate in partnership with them, delivering substance abuse treatment and mental health care to our community. And just in an earlier meeting and people talking about, like, you know, it's one of our most critical needs in our community is like having not just more capacity and access to mental health services, but actually specifically to services with providers who know about our community, understand our history, understand the impact of historical trauma, and understand our contemporary experience as well, and recognize that we live in today's society, but we're impacted by our historical experiences. And so these partnerships we have at the Red Lake, and specifically within the behavioral health footprint and mental health footprint, have been really designed to sort of respond specifically to that thing, which is, you know, the integration of culturally centered treatment models and support models that help, you know, our community and see themselves in the treatment with not just the providers are Native, but also a lot of the core elements of the program are deeply embedded in cultural and ritual and traditional healing aspects. And then we have a partnership that we've built out with Avivo Village. We're already providing cultural healing services through a spiritual care provider over there. And we are, they're going to be our partner in our housing component that provides supportive and affordable housing to our relatives. So it's really becoming this wonderful experience of, you know, people with like minds and like philosophies and a desire to really help the community and lift them up and support them as they sort of get on a healing path and continue that path. And it's been an honor and privilege to work with them. I'm really excited about it. And it is, I call it my legacy initiative, but from the perspective of, like, you know, you know, it's just my honor and my privilege to serve my community. I was born and raised in this community, and so coming back from the West Coast after 20 years and being here has been a real privilege and honor. So it's kind
That's so, I don't know if I want to use the word groundbreaking, but breaking the ceiling of of mental health and behavioral health and cultural identity and working on that, how important that is, because I know that's a fairly new thing, and at least in the chemical dependency realm, to merge those two. So it's very exciting to hear that, because I never had that opportunity when I was sober enough.
Yeah, that's true. Me neither. I got sober almost 38 years ago, and there was practically nothing really for me when I first got clean, you know, and way back in the day, I was just a 23-year-old. But I think the thing for me is that, you know, my experience has been, you know, I got the tools that I needed to be able to sort of kind of start my my path towards recovery from drug and alcohol addiction. Early in my life, I got those basic tools from going to AA meetings and other kinds of support structures, and maybe even therapy. I had a really great therapist after having some not so great therapists when I first started out. A Jungian psychologist, his name was Don Kilhefner. I think he's still around, I'm not sure. But life-changing for me. You know, one of the things that has helped to sustain me and to sustain my recovery and my not just my recovery, but also my ability to thrive and my ability to sort of like, you know, have my whole world crack wide open and just see the potential for my own personal growth and development, but also the growth and development of my community and all of those, all the richness there. It was centered in ceremony and traditional healing practices. As like coming back to that circle was what actually created the opportunity for me to sort of really become a more full human being and to be a more fuller and a vessel, I guess, or a partner, a better relative in the community and the work that I do, and not just within the clinic, but writ large across all of those structures that I work in. And all the places, it really was the thing that helped me imagine a better life and a better future for me and my children and the future children to come.
Well, it's interesting because I would have listed myself if I was to dream where I'd be at today and the position not only that, but just probably the giving, because I've learned from a lot of people in my lifetime, you have to give it away to keep it. And that's been everything in my life, not just sobriety and not trying to do good things for people and not be found out. It's just become everything.
What's the reason the Creator sent us here was to be good relatives to one another and just, you know, to understand the beauty and the gift of being able to do that in each other's lives. And I think one of the things for me was like, you know, I was just I was a wreck of a mess. Like I was like, I wasn't too much unlike that hurricane that just passed by Maui. I think that was kind of like the experience of the people who loved me and whose lives I were in. I would just leave a path of destruction that was miles wide, miles deep. And so, you know, I didn't really know that, like, I would have done the same thing. I would have not known that I was able to have the kind of life that I have. No one is more astounded at the privilege and the gifts that I have been given by being in recovery than me. Like, I had no idea that my life could be so full and my life could be so rich, and that would be embedded in service and being of service to our community.
Perfect. Yes, exactly. I know Wendy's astounded by me, and I'm her best husband so far. So I'm working pretty good.
Hey, well, there you go. Yeah, you better keep at that because she's she's a catch, that one.
That's right. Wendy's not saying anything. Go ahead, say something, Wendy. Please.
I'm too busy. I'm chuckling over here. I think you're funny.
She's heard all my material, and now I just pulled a new one out there and made her chuckle. That's good. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, and I guess we're really kind of serious here about, you know, how far we've come as opposed to how far we have to come and to celebrate life and recovery and service. I think that's just huge. And you're the epitome of that, Dr. Stately. And we're going to have you on for another segment just for that.
Oh, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News Special Report. A grand jury in Fulton County, Georgia, hands up 10 indictments. The judge asking after he signs off on them.
Was it all you hoped it would be?
This is a grand jury that has been considering evidence in the former President Trump 2020 election probe. The court does not provide details of charges or defendants in the indictment. CBS's Christian Benavides in Atlanta points out that in the Trump case, they've looked at potential racketeering charges.
Georgia's RICO statute allows the prosecutors to sort of tell a story rather than just presenting evidence against one defendant, telling a story surrounding multiple defendants and what ultimately it is that they wanted to do.
Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson adding,
it's important because it recognizes the type of election interference that Trump and his co-conspirators were involved in during the 2021 certification of the election.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
President Joe Biden is in Wisconsin on Tuesday, August 15th, and you'll find complete coverage of his visit on your local Civic Media radio station.
News director Terry Bell will kick it all off during the newscast at noon, followed by Town Call with Devil's Advocates host Mike Crute joining the show live on location in Milwaukee. Then listen for the president's speech during the Todd Alba Show after 1 p.m.
Special live coverage of President Joe Biden's stop in Milwaukee Tuesday, August 15th, starting at noon on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state
and
about
Xerxes in Minneapolis. More at vinaigrettemn.com.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Great organization. They've been supporting us for many years here on Native Roots Radio, and we're back here, and we're talking to Dr. Stately, and... talking about service, and I think those things knowing a little bit about your mother, I think you got a lot of that from her too over.
Oh, for sure. I mean, yeah. I think she's, I've inherited a lot of her, I think, her philosophy about, you know, what it means to be a servant leader in the community. You know, I was raised by her and a bunch of other Indigenous women, right? So I was raised by lots of Native women who were strong, outspoken, you know, very, you know, just not the kind of people that you would go up against, you know. And I learned, you know, I didn't, of course, understand what I was learning and experiencing as a child and as a young man growing up in the late 60s and early 70s. At the time when, you know, AIM was first taking shape. And, you know, I have vague memories of my childhood and my parents. My mother was very active in the beginning of AIM when it first started happening with a lot of the other Native women in the Twin Cities. You know, this is not stuff we really talk a whole lot about. I think Clyde mentions it and speaks a little bit about it in his autobiography or his memoir. And he, and one of the things I think is we don't talk a whole lot about is like how much of the beginning of AIM really was shaped around the leadership of the women in our community who were just, you know, frustrated and angered and tired and quite honestly worried about like the well-being of their men in the community and the well-being of their children. So they, you know, they banded together and they started thinking about some solutions. And I was a young kid when I remember like having, you know, my uncles, the Belcourt brothers and my uncle Dennis Banks and all these other people, like, you know, just I was a little tiny guy, so like of course they all look like giants to me, like, you know, I just have these memories of these big huge Indian men walking through my house and down into my mother's basement and my mother closing the door and saying don't come down here, they were talking about adult stuff, right? So a lot of that stuff that became later, like things like, you know, AIM and Indian Ed and Indian Child Welfare stuff all came from like the streets here in South Minneapolis. People just had enough of, and I think about what that means today for today's kind of community, the things that we're experiencing and seeing in our communities now is that, you know, there's a lot of people who are tired of the things that are, you know, confronting us and, you know, and challenging our health and our well-being, not just like conditions, but like social conditions. Like, you know, we have some of the worst health outcomes. We have so much community violence. You know, when the George Floyd murder happened, you know, people were like, and then the DOJ report was released about a, 4 or 5 months ago, right? And it clearly shows like just how disparate and significantly police violence is directed towards more Native people than any other racial group in the Twin Cities and Minneapolis. And these are things we knew back in the 1960s. That's why AIM took the time, right? So part of it is that I was born out of that time and that legacy. And I didn't really know that I think that I was going to be in the situation that I'm in. I mean, I didn't, you know, you don't go to school to be like, I'm going to become an activist and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'm going to be a community organizer. It's just something these are part of your life or it isn't. So,
Well, when we say AIM, we mean the American Indian Movement. And just for our listeners that don't know, and it was started here, like Dr. Stately said, on Franklin Avenue with the way police were harming our Native relatives. I got a quick question for you, Dr. Stately. Now, when you, and I'm really curious about this, What do you do personally to take care of yourself? Because where you are in the community, your job, a lot of people depend on you. Your sons depend on you. Your family depends on you in a lot of ways. Well, how do you take care of yourself?
Well, I mean, I could probably legitimately and honestly do a better job of doing that. I think I have a way better sense of how to draw boundaries and keep boundaries in place than I did, you know, 10, 15 years ago. I try really hard to make sure that I'm in my family, we don't eat a whole lot of fast food. I cook for my kids almost every single day. We try to get out. I walk my dog about 5 miles a day. Usually I try to do that. Yeah. I do it right before I go to bed at night so that I'm tired and I'll go to sleep. And because that's another big part of making sure I have good sleep. I'm not always great at it, but I'm getting better at it. I try to really do a good job of integrating spiritual practices too. So I get up in the morning, let the dogs out. I usually will stand and say a prayer or something like that. I have the benefit of living in a beautiful place that has a lot of trees. So I'll put some tobacco down in front of a tree, or I'll, say a prayer. I live near a place that has lots of eagles, so I'm always kind of gifted by at least once a week by an eagle that kind of flies overhead and reminds me of that relationship. Mm-hmm. And I try to smudge, and then when I can, I go to ceremony. I haven't been to a sweat in a while, but I think I'm probably ready for one here soon. And I go to NACS Cedar ceremonies, and then we have a drum group every Thursday that I try to attend to. So I'm doing stuff that is kind of loosely connected to what I do for work, but it's also life-giving as well. I go to those things because they bring me a lot of peace and they bring me a lot of joy.
Yeah, the drum, Wendy and I, our daughter, in years past has been really affected by the drum. And, and that's really cool to see.
Yeah, I'm working on this project here. We're starting this project with young Native men. We have a prevention project where we're working with young Native men between the ages of 16 and 30. And it was a small grant that we got, but we decided to, we worked with this young man who came in and kind of helped us coordinate that program. And he was like, we should get a drum. So we got together with group of people, they created a drum. Now NAC has a drum. Now we have an Eagle staff that someone made for us. And we're doing this really amazing stuff. And we had this men's camp July, Memorial Day weekend. And about 20 young men went to that camp, and they spent time, 2 or 3 days, sort of kind of exploring, traditional things like drum making, singing songs, cooking for one another, spending time talking about what it means to be a young warrior and a Kichitan or Kichita in today's society. And that project was really born out of me listening and hearing young men talk about how they need more opportunities to come together and talk about their pain, and they need more opportunities talk about their concerns, and also to begin to understand their place in today's society and in today's community. Who are we, and where do we show up, and how do we show up and be strong warriors for people? It was a really beautiful experience. And those men that started that drum group, now they're out there every Thursday drumming in front of the clinic between 5 and 7 o'clock, and people from all around the community, they just kind of gather around the drum, and usually we have food and water and snacks, and there's intergenerational people there. There's kids all the way up to grandpas and even people my age. It's pretty exciting.
That's beautiful. And I think for our community, that's sometimes left out is our young men and how to be young men, because we have so many shattered families, and it's hard. I think it's difficult for our young men to find their place, like you were saying.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, a little bit of it is by design, you know. I mean, that's the effect of colonization and mm-hmm. all the colonial policies that really were put in place to sort of kind of destroy our families and, you know, create, you know, those challenges within our communities. So, you know, one of the things that it's teaching me is that, you know, the drum is a universal sort of symbol for all Native people. Like, if you hear a drum beat, no matter where you are on Turtle Island, you hear a drum beat, it's a call, right? It's like, you know, I don't know how you are, but if I hear somebody drumming and starting to sing, I'll be looking for, like, where is that coming from, kind of thing, right? And I'm kind of pulled towards it, and I think there's real power and real medicine in that drum. And so I think, and we're going to continue to do this for as long as the community wants us to do it, and it's a really honor. It's a beautiful thing. It's been healing for me just to go there and sit with those men and listen to them and sometimes join them on the drum. So it's
been, yeah, I'll have to make it over there after a show. Definitely. Yeah. That sounds pretty exciting. I know Wendy and I, when we were in Standing Rock, we heard a lot of singing and drums in the distance that not only drew us, but it was beautiful. It was eerie and beautiful at the same time.
Yeah, it's medicine. It's, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Dr. Stately, I really appreciate you being on. And I don't know if you have time to stick around and howl with us the next segment where we're going to talk about our sacred animals with Wendy. But I understand if you can't, it's always a fun part of our show.
Absolutely. I'll stick around and howl. You know?
Right on. You're a good sport. Thank you so much, Dr. Stately, for really... really powerful words, as always. Really appreciate you. Appreciate you and the work you do in the community, and coming in here and sharing that. It's pretty beautiful. I appreciate you. And we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
Stay with us.
Be a vaccinative. It's time to come together and talk about the urgent need to stay up to date on COVID-19 vaccinations to protect our heritage, our loved ones, and our future. Throughout history, we have always faced challenges, and today we must protect our culture and loved ones. This is our opportunity to ensure that our tribal gatherings once again resound with joy and celebration, where the echoes of our ancestors guide our steps. It's a chance to care for our elders, cherishing their wisdom and stories for generations to come. COVID-19 vaccines are safe and effective. Let us unite, resilient as ever, and show the world the strength of the Native American community. Together, we shape a future where our traditions thrive, our children learn from our ancestors, and our people flourish once more. So be a vaccinative and learn more about staying up to date with your COVID vaccinations at health.state.mn.us. That's health.state.mn.us. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
End-of-life decisions are not easy to make. Hi, I'm Mary T. of Mary T. Hospice Care. It's important to make sure that this difficult time is meaningful and comforting to you and your loved ones. Our hospice team provides an individualized program of physical, emotional, spiritual, and practical care so your loved one is comfortable and not in pain. At Mary T. Hospice, we understand that choosing the right hospice care provider can be overwhelming, but we're here to assist you. Learn more today at MaryTInc.com.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, Protecting Wolves for Future Generations.
That was beautiful. Thank you, Dr. Stately. Hey, Haley, you got a quick update on tomorrow's show?
Yes. Well, since we had Dr. Stately on today, as wonderful as that always is, talking mental health. We got another show tomorrow. We're going to be having Jocelyn McWhorter on from Hennepin County Mental Health Awareness Campaign, as well as CEO of Strong Hearts Native Helpline, Lori Jump.
Yeah, we love Lori. And Dr. Stately, thank you so much for coming on. And this is our sacred animal portion. You're able to stay on. I know that you're working hard in the office and you have a long drive, but definitely stay on. And if you have, if Wendy's got a quiz here, you can join in. So, hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many years, and she talks about her sacred animals here on Native Roots Radio.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. My name is Hannah Jihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hannah Jingo, which means walks on white clouds.
Yeah, and that's to give Curtis some tobacco out for him. He's healing up operation today, but things are going good and it happened well.
Yes, I'm glad to hear that. Yes, I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues on the local and state level. And what we do is we work on policy. So we go and talk to our legislators and our House representatives and our even our city council members, and we ask them for help with humane laws. Mm-hmm. I always love this quote from Gandhi, which I'm going to quote right now, and it says, "The greatness of a nation and its moral progress can be judged by the way its animals are treated." Mm-hmm. And I really truly believe that, you know, all animals. And what I'm going to be talking about right now is our farmed animals. So our cows, our pigs, and our chickens. And a lot of people may not really worry about them or care about them, but there's a dangerous law or act that's being proposed, and I'm going to tell you about it. So right now, California has an animal welfare law, and it's called Proposition 12. So what this Proposition 12 means is that it gives space to the animals on the farms. So right, and a lot of states have baby calves in veal pens, right? And they're kept in confinement and really horrific conditions. Chickens in battery cages. They're called battery cages because they're as big as a car battery, and the chickens can't even flap their wings or turn around, and they're kept like that in egg-laying chickens. Pigs, female pigs, are kept in gestational crates, and they're just bred over and over and over again. And these gestational crates, the pig could stand up, but the pig cannot stand and move side to side or turn around her whole entire life. And a lot of people don't know that the animals are kept like that.
Right.
Because if they did, I think people would say, hey, we don't want the farm, even though we're going to be eating these animals, we don't want their lives to be miserable. We don't want them to be kept in these horrific conditions. So California came up with the animal welfare law Proposition 12, mm-hmm. Which regulates space for these farmed animals and says, hey, we need to give these animals more space. They need to be able to roam around a little bit more. And California says, we do not want any eggs. We do not want any pork. And we do not want any chicken that are kept in these horrific right? So that's what Proposition 12. But now what's happening is the Supreme Court and a Congresswoman Ashley Hinson will be leading this effort to bring about the EATS Act. It's EATS Act. And what this stands for is the Ending Agricultural Trade Suppression Act. So they want to say, no, California can't have Proposition 12. These states can't regulate how farmers keep these animals. So what we're doing is we're fighting against that. The Humane Society of the United States and a lot of other animal animal advocacy groups are working with their Congress people, their senators, and asking them to please oppose the EATS Act, because it's going to be a bill, and it's going to become go towards the Senate, and the Senate is going to have to sign what they want to do. So if you care about animals, even the animals that you eat, we want you to call your senator and your House representative and ask them to please oppose the EATS Act.
Yeah.
So if you could just do that, it usually just takes a quick phone call. Most of the time, I know in my experience, I would maybe get a legislative assistant that answers the phone. You just leave them a message. You tell them I'm a constituent. I care about this. Please let Senator so-and-so, in my case, I would say, please let Senator Klobuchar know that I want her to oppose the EATS Act, and that I feel that even farmed animals that we eat deserve to have space to turn around in their life.
Absolutely.
I mean, could you imagine a female pig? Now, we know how smart they are. Staying in a spot where they could just stand up and lay down, but they can't move side to side and they can't turn around. Their whole entire lives are kept like that in that cramped space. So yeah, give your senator, your House representative a call. Take and all these phone calls really make a big difference. The legislative assistants will get on, make a list and say, hey, you know, I got 20 calls today and you have constituents that really care about this thing. So they listen. We've seen it happen. We've worked on a lot of other legislative humane bills and laws that we want to pass in Minnesota. We want Minnesota, St. Paul, the area that we live in, to be a humane place.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Good call on that.
Yeah. Robert, you gave me an article the other day that I love, and I want to share it with the audience here.
Let's hear it.
Yeah. So there was this farmer, and every night when the farmer went to bed, the dog, his dog would bark and bark and bark and bark and bark and bark and bark. So the farmer finally said, I can't see anything out there. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to set up cameras. I'm going to set up cameras all around to find out what this dog is barking about. So what happened was, what he saw on the camera was a leopard who came to the cow, this one particular cow, every night. And what would happen would the cow and the leopard would cuddle together. And the farmer was astonished about this, and he couldn't believe it. So the farmer got in touch with the previous farm owner and said, you know, this is happening on my land, and I've never seen anything like this before in my life, and what's going on? And the previous farm owner said, the leopard was born. And then we noticed in 20 days that the leopard's mom was killed. The leopard's mom was killed, and we had a cow that just gave birth and had milk. And the cow was giving its milk to the leopard. So then the leopard believed that this cow was his mom. Yeah, you could go online and you could just probably Google cow and leopard. And you could see pictures of them like kind of cuddling. The leopard's kind of like sleeping underneath the cow's head. And the cow's head is like over the leopard's body. And they're cuddling. So I think that that's a really good story about how inner species, you know, get along, how they come together, how it doesn't matter what species it is. The mother cow is just being motherly to the leopard. So it's a beautiful story.
What a way to end the show with Peeny Geeky, Wendy.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate the time and being able to talk about important animal issues.
Right on. Hey, Dr. Stately, thank you so much for being on today. Okay, Dr. Stately doesn't realize this is a radio show. He just bowed to us.
thank you very much.
There you go. Thank you, Haley, for all the work. And, of course, thank you, Wendy, for those updates on our sacred animals. If you listen to the show, you're part of the resistance. We're still here.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. App 93.5 The Tap.